Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Sister Talk on Blog Talk Radio, and I am your host, Ciola J. Abrams. Huh, guys, let me start by telling you, first of all, thank you for joining us on today's show. Man, I tell you, today's show must really, let me start again. Today's show, I have to tell you, it has to be so incredibly powerful to get to the show this evening. When I tell you it was something of a challenge, okay, I have to share this. I just have to share what happened with you all. So I was out for some part of the day. It was absolutely beautiful considering that we've had much needed rain. It was a beautiful day, and I just didn't want to stay inside today working. I wanted to get out and enjoy the weather. And, you know, my husband and I had a wonderful conversation this morning, this afternoon. It was great. And so I got out, and I just wanted to get out and do whatever I wanted to do. So I got out and had a couple of phone calls while I was out and came back home and more than enough time to set up. Well, everything was set up prior to me coming home, but I mean logging in, making sure I had everything in front of me, which computer I wanted to use. And I'm telling you, my computers, both of them, went haywire. I couldn't log into my email. Everything was crazy. It was telling me that my box wasn't there. So I was like, okay, I logged into the other computer. So I try to do these from a quiet place in the home because we have our neighbors have a dog. The neighbors in back of us have a dog. We're not far from the train track. And so everything periodically can be really crazy and loud. So I'm working with the other computer because the one in my office has gone haywire. Then the other one, all of a sudden, everything was upside down. I couldn't see anything or function because everything was upside down. I'm like, what is going on? The printer's not working. I'm just, this is crazy. But praise God, I finally had a woo-saw moment, and I said, wait a minute, I'm in control here, God, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So I stopped freaking out and panicking, and I realized that, no, all you have to do is pray. So I calmed my little self down, and I prayed, and praise God, both computers are working, but I am downstairs, so I do want to apologize if there is any background noise. So now that I've woo-sawed with you all, let's get this show started the right way. All right, so as I said earlier, hello and welcome to Thursday, March 3rd episode of Sister Talk Radio on Blog Talk, or a Sister Talk Blog Talk Radio show. I'm here to tell you, again, today's show, it just has to be incredibly awesome because it has been a bear of a time getting here. So, again, I am your host, Ciola J. Abrams, and as I do always, let me start by just expressing to you, all of our listeners, how delighted we are to have you and how appreciative we are to you taking your time this evening, 7 o'clock, and as I always say, we want to definitely, acknowledge that 7 p.m. is a prime time, and we want to thank you for taking the time to spend an hour with us because you could be doing many other things. You know, I've said this before, it's typically dinner time around 7 o'clock or a little before 7 o'clock, and people are just getting in from work, winding down, spending time with their family, their children, their spouses, and we don't take your tuning in to spend time with us for granted. So, again, I just want to take this opportunity to express my gratitude to you all and tell you how much we appreciate your support. All right, so now that we've got the niceties out the way, let me just tell you again, I believe tonight is going to be yet another awesome and powerful show. We have with us tonight Pastor Natalie Nervis, I believe, is, and she'll correct me if I'm wrong there. And I'm telling you, her story is awesome, but you're going to have to hear about that story in her book and in her upcoming movie. But tonight we're going to be talking about freedom versus fear, and she's going to share with us how good freedom feels. I don't know about any of you, but if you've ever been bound by fear, be it fear of people, been there, done that, my hand is raised. You can't see me, but it's raised. Fear of rejection, my hand is still raised. fear to pursue happiness and your God-given purpose. Okay, my hand is still up because I've traveled this road of fear too. How many of you have experienced fear of failure? Okay, I'm going to just keep my hand raised because I've experienced this too. If you have ever battled with fear, and I don't care whatever the fear may have been or currently is, you will definitely want to stay tuned in to tonight's show because it is going to be, as I said, incredibly, incredibly awesome. Pastor Natalie is also going to share with us how fear held her down and what people would think of her. Have you ever been there, been afraid to pursue your dreams, been afraid to pursue your passion because you were afraid of what people were going to think, how they were going to receive you? Have you ever been afraid of people rejecting you? Well, we're going to talk about these things and more tonight. She's going to share with us how she was afraid to be her authentic self. Again, you know, I'm going to raise my hand because I've experienced this as well. And I think this is one of the reasons why I was really excited, you know, for tonight's show. I'm excited about all of the shows that we've done and those that are yet coming because each of them just touched me in a very deep way. And I pray that they will do the same for each of you, our listeners. So, again, she's going to talk about the fear that had her bound, and that fear was rejection, fear of what people thought, fear of people's approval that hindered her from living her best life now. And I pray that tonight's episode will really break some chains on some folks who are listening and really kind of resonate with you about things that you yourself may have been experiencing in terms of fear. She will also share with us how being a pastor, you know, needs refreshment and encouragement and love too. And sometimes we think that they don't need that, but the reality is that they do, because I don't know, for whatever reason, sometimes we may feel like it's just their pastors and they're above having feelings or needing love or needing encouragement, and that's not the case. All right, so I've talked too long. I want to get to the show. So I just want to make a couple of brief announcements, and I'm going to do that as I always do. I want to remind our listeners that the Trinity Break Every Chain Tour, which I am truly honored to be a part of, will be in Las Vegas on a week from Saturday, which is next Saturday, March 11th. We will be at the East Las Vegas Community Center. You can go to our website, at www.trinitybectour.com. That's www.trinitybectour.com. Okay, and we're also going to be in Phoenix on April 2nd, Los Angeles on April 29th. So visit the website, get all of the details, and we hope to see you there. Now, I'll touch bases on our women's conference when we come back. I'm really excited to get Pastor Natalie on, and I've already taken up 5 minutes of her time. So let me go ahead and bring her on, and then we're going to get right into this topic of freedom versus fear. All right, so we're going to bring Pastor Natalie on. 1 second while we do that. Pastor Natalie, are you with us?
I'm right here.
All right. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, sweetie?
I am good. I had a bear of a time getting here, but I'm here.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited.
I'm sorry? You said you're excited?
I'm excited about tonight.
Yes. Me too. All right. So we're going to be talking about a topic that many people are fearful of talking about. We're going to be talking about fear itself.
Yes. I had to consecrate all day for this.
Oh, well, praise the Lord. Well, we're ending. We're in for a good one then. If you've been consecrating all day, all right. Well, how about we just dive right in. So I want to just, first of all, let me just thank you for being with us tonight. I really appreciate that, being a pastor. I know you're very busy, have a lot of things going on. So thank you for taking this time to be with us and for being so gracious and sharing candidly, you know, your experiences regarding fear. So let me just say thank you and how much I appreciate you.
Oh, honey, you don't have to say thank you. I feel really honored and humbled to be on your show.
Aw, oh, okay. Okay, before we both start tearing up, let's move on. Let's get deep into this topic of freedom versus fear. So, Pastor Natalie, I know just in conversations that you and I have had that you are so gifted and in so many areas. Would you mind sharing with us how fear held you hostage and for a time perhaps even prevented you from pursuing your God-given purpose?
What happened really was it wasn't just fear, because with spirits, they tag on along other spirits. So a lot that I was dealing with the word fear and pain. And so my backstory is I grew up around a lot of pain. And so when I asked God what was keeping me from moving forward, because we have to get real with him and say, why isn't this happening, or why am I acting this way? And he just told me it was childhood stuff. And I said, well, can you bring things back to my memory? And so I can remember even as an infant, my stepmom beating me up, and I couldn't believe the visions that I remembered. And I would tell my father, I would say, remember when I was little, you would sit me in front of this heater. And he was like, how do you remember that? People can't remember something, you know, they were that young. And I said, and I remember when she would pull my hair, and my other siblings would say, she's just a baby, you can't do that. And then as I got older, my father was a pastor, but we lived one way at church, and then we lived in a war zone in our home. And so saying that, I wasn't the only one that got hit. The other siblings, they were getting hit too. And so all I saw all my life was pain. And so upon that, it brought out other spirits. And so I was always living in fear and living in pain. And so that was a lot that stopped me from moving forward. It was just a lot of pain.
Wow. You know, I like the way you said that, because a lot of people don't associate fear with pain. But when you have experienced pain, I imagine that, and having experienced that myself, that whatever it was that caused you the pain, you have fear of that happening again. So that brings on that spirit of fear that you're referring to. Would you agree?
Right. And so upon that pain, I became something else when I left the house. School, I excelled in being class president, cheerleader, homecoming queen. I tried to do things outside the home that kept me busy so I didn't have to go home. And so that's like being a Dr. Jekyll and Hyde, because when you're at school, you're one way, and then when you're at church, you're one way. But then when you come home, you're back in the war zone. So we lived middle class. My dad bought a new car every year. But what I saw, what outsiders saw, was, oh, they were the perfect family. But what I saw as a child growing up, and I'll never forget it, I was like in the fifth grade, I said, we have this huge house, but all I see in this pink house is a black fence with fire around it. So I was literally living in hell, and that lasted until I was around 17, until I ran away. And I've even tried to commit suicide, a couple of suicide attempts, because my childhood was so bad.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So I could see why it was so hard getting here tonight. My goodness. Okay. So you know what I love about the guests that we've had on, including yourself, is that all of the stories are so similar. And I know a lot of people think that they're isolated stories. Their story is an isolated story. This didn't happen. You know, this only happened to me. So, wow, this is really, really deep. So tell me, what role do you see fear, and now I'm going to couple this with pain, fear and pain of people play? So fear of your dad, fear of other people finding out what was going on. So what role did all that play in how you saw people, or your fear of how people perhaps perceived you?
I just was always searching for love in all the wrong places, you know. And I always wanted acceptance from my dad because he played that role of the pastor, and you know, everyone looked up to the pastor. But my dad told me that when I was 2 days old, my mom, I was born at Kaiser, but my mom gave him back to me, and she went back to Napa State Hospital because she was dealing with some mental health issues. And my dad took me home and raised me. With that being said, we were close, but yet what he allowed people to do to me, even though we were close, I didn't understand why he would allow this abuse to go on and on and on. So what happened as I grew up, I allowed other people to abuse me the same way I was being abused in my home. So when you said what role did fear of people play, you know, I was wild because I was looking for love. I just started wilding out with men. I didn't do drugs, but I was, like, smoking weed, partying, and I just rebelled. And so as I rebelled, I attracted a certain crowd of people. And what's funny about me was I was victorious in the workforce. I was an investment banker. So I had two different lives going on. At work, I was an investment banker, and then I was a wild woman at night, and I just partied from, like, Friday night to like Monday morning, and I even had the nerve to go to church on Sunday. But I wasn't happy. My fear was I tried to buy people's love because I was looking for love. And so God told me, you never saw it as a kid growing up, so you're going about it the wrong way. But I didn't know that at that time. And so I just started to strut.
You know, I have to tell you, your transparency as a pastor is refreshing, because I think a lot of people, no, it really is, because sometimes I think that, you know, that title is sometimes a title that many people see as being placed on a pedestal, that unhuman people are in those positions. They don't feel anything. They have never gone through anything. And that's because we don't hear those stories. We don't hear those raw testimonies. So again, I really just want to applaud you for being so transparent with what you experienced, because I'm sure this is literally going to help a whole lot of people tonight. And I didn't even see this coming. So,
okay, honey, I had to, Natalie's not even on the phone. I had to leave my body so God can speak through me. It's okay.
Well, amen, amen. Amen for that. So, okay. So we talked. About the role of fear of people, and so and even in what you just explained, there was some fear of rejection in there too. So there was fear of rejection of people, or fear of not being accepted, as you alluded to earlier.
You just, when you're, rejection is you just want to be accepted. And so you do be accepted. And what I did even as a pastor is I tried to buy people. You see what I'm saying? Like when birthdays came around, and all out the way for birthdays, for just one person. And so even growing up, you know, I had a job since the sixth grade. I would buy my dad his trench coats. I would go out the way to just buy people, because I didn't want to be rejected. So I thought that buying and buying and buying, I wouldn't be rejected, but I still was rejected, because when you're a giver and a nurturer and people don't reciprocate, that's still an abuse all by itself, because you do want them to reciprocate, but you think that you have to just give, and that they'll soon give back. That brings on another form of depression also. So I was trying to buy.
Wow. And you're right, you know, the opposite of rejection is definitely acceptance. And a lot of people have really tried to buy people's love, to buy their acceptance, to buy their validation and their affirmation. So that's so true. That is absolutely true. So, okay. Speaking of validation and recognizing your worth, how did fear, how did rejection, how did trying to buy people's acceptance, how did that kind of affect you in terms of your pursuit of purpose? When did you kind of discover that this is not working, this is not, you know, who I am or what I'm supposed to be doing?
I'll go into the pastor part a little bit and tie it in. Well, as a pastor, there's no handbook on how to be a pastor. And so you're just like, I would consult with God about a lot of stuff. And he would just sit me down and say, okay, you know, I'm the chief shepherd. You're just a shepherd down here on earth. And he would try to school me on what to do. But I was still dealing with so much pain. You know what I mean? So what happened was I was a walking time bomb. I was working 70 hours a week, and I was so into pastoring and being there for everybody but myself. I get up at 5:30. I'm in the car at 6:30. I'm praying for folks on my way to work. Once I get to work, I was in the medical field, so I had to give back that way. I'm praying for folks at lunch, praying for folks after work, and then you still have to go home and get sermons together and committees and this and that. So I had forgot about Natalie, and I had let go. So finally my health got affected, and I just finally and I'm gonna go a little deeper than that. Everyone looks to the pastor as the strong one when we're like the weakest. And the reason why I say we're the weakest one is because we're still human, but they don't think that. They think that we're like Wonder Woman and Superman. And so I started saying to myself, I'm going through a lot, but I don't think anyone sees me because I'm so busy, you know, saving them. But to make a long story short, I one day didn't do a sermon, but I put on this videotape. Do you remember a couple of years when a lot of pastors were committing suicide? And so I put on a tape, and it was about this pastor that had committed suicide. And I said to myself, they don't know that I'm crying out for help. So what happened was I became that hamster that didn't get off the wheel, and I felt like I was on a roller coaster that never stopped. And that's when I knew I had a problem.
Okay, well, I'm glad we went right on into the pastor aspect of this, because I know that as a pastor, there are a lot of times, like you just said, people don't really realize that a pastor, a minister, you know, in ministry period, people don't really feel like you need to be refreshed, or you need to be encouraged, or you need to experience love. And I know sometimes, you know, because I have other pastor friends, and sometimes it's just difficult for them to, you know, out of fear. They have no one to go and talk to because I can't be real with what I'm experiencing out of fear, fear of what people are going to think, fear of being rejected, fear of being judged, fear of being criticized. So as a pastor, was that a concern, even with wanting and needing to be refreshed, of what, you know, people were going to see you as not being as strong, not being the pillar that they may perhaps saw you as being?
Well, I got so desperate that I would inbox people that I knew that were pastors that I knew growing up. And I would be like, I need to talk to you. And they would be like, okay, let's do coffee. And I'm like, okay, well, bring your wife. And if you weren't bringing your wife, I wasn't going, because I saw a lot in the church.
And I'm scared of that.
Themselves. And so I had a chip on my shoulder as a female pastor. I was really overprotective over the women at my church, and I saw too much growing up. And so when they would come at me like, let's go, why can't you pray for me over the phone, or why can't I just ask you all these questions? Why do you want to go to dinner? So I just, and then when I would talk to the female ministers, they were so gung-ho on, oh, I went to seminary school, I went to theology school. And I'm like, what does that have to do with me asking you for help? You see what I'm saying? So a lot of them, they were so into self, and I just felt like I was screaming out for help, and no one was listening. And then some members would be like, well, get with other pastors. I tried that, and no one wanted to listen, not even my dad. They just, and then he would be like, oh, I remember when I went through that through my days. But, you know, so I had to go to God. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was really hard.
Wow. Okay, Pastor Nelly. You're making me take off my glasses, because I can see we're going to have to roll up our sleeves and go on in here.
Yeah, oh, did you take off your shoes? Because I'm filling my toes, honey.
I'm taking off my shoes now because it looks like we're just going to have to go on and let the Holy Spirit have his way.
Water, girl, get water.
Because I see this is going where God obviously wants it to go. So you talked about everything that you saw as a pastor. So from a pastor's perspective, let's dive into that. You know, because I know in conversations that we've had, you know, there were some struggles in terms of being a pastor, and as you said, people always wanting from you and wanting you to give, but there was no one there to give back, no one there to pour into. And then having all of these issues with reaching out to pastors that were obviously potentially looking for something else as opposed to giving, you know, support, they were looking for something else. So how did that look growing up?
Girl, you went there.
I told you, we taking off the shoes.
I just saw a lot. One of the characters in my book is Pimpin' Preaching Playboy Pastor. And so I just saw it all as from 2-year-old all the way up. And so I just never wanted to. First of all, I rebelled. Let's get that out there. Seeing so much in church in my 20s was my roaring 20s. In my 30s, I called them the dirty 30s. And then God, like, you know how he called Moses at 40? So when I'm a cancer survivor. I was 33. And I couldn't run no more from him. I got sick. A lot of times in life, God has to take you all the way to your lowest. So when I got sick, I still didn't have any family around. I mean, sometimes family is your worst enemy, and God will put you at your lowest so that you will only rely on him. But to bring that back into pastor thing, upon him healing me from cancer, I still rebelled. And so one day my niece was like, let's do Bible study. I said, call your mom and let her do it. She said, God said to call you. So we started having Bible study at my sister-in-law's house, and then we became a church. But I'm going to say this to everybody. I don't even care if you went to theology school, seminary school. Matthew 16:18 says, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. That's God's church. They don't belong to you. The church is inside of us. So I had to get that in my spirit that this didn't belong to me. This is what God is doing. But when you're, like, on a mission for God, that's when the adversary gets even more busier. So the closer I got to wanting to do this vision, the bigger the fight got, even within the church. And that's what a lot of pastors are going through. And I feel sorry for those that didn't have someone to talk to. And I'm even writing a book called I May Be a Pastor, But I Just Lost My Mind. And and I think they're scared to cry out for help because everyone's looking to us to cast out the demons. Everyone's looking to us to lay hands on them. And yes, we have the anointing, but at the same time, we go home. We have households. I'm sure that pastors' kids are doing this and that. But we, you know, the pastors start in their own home, but we're hurting and we're struggling too. But it's just because you have that title, people think that you're the strong one and you're not supposed to be suffering. And it's deeper than what I'm – it really is.
Oh, I know. So then there's a fear of perception. So then there's fear of perception. So where you're very open and very transparent with what your needs were as a pastor, you know, so others may be experiencing how they're being perceived, fear of how they're going to be perceived. One may think that I'm perceived as being weak if I show that I have a need, or if I need to have a confidant, or if I need, you know, to vent, or if I need to do whatever, you know, I have to, it's almost like they're unreal. So that's a fear in the church.
You're in charge
the
of their soul. You're in charge of their souls, and that's a lot.
Wow.
It's a heavy
responsibility. Say that again, Pastor Nelly. I'm sorry.
Heavy responsibility. You have to be willing to fight. Like, you can't just you can't give up. Like, you know, you have to be willing to fight for your flock. And one thing about me is, as a shepherd, you know, if one sheep goes astray, you have to go get them and bring them back, or, you know, intercede for them. I never stop praying. I pray day in and I pray day out. And with my gift, God shows me this person is battling with this, this person is battling with that. And I even do that with new people that I meet. I can meet you
mm-hmm.
and see all your business. But instead of talking
mm-hmm.
about it, I may lay hands on you, but I just get to praying for you. And that's a heavy responsibility to have, too, the different gifts that I have in the spiritual
mm-hmm.
realm makes it difficult, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, just praying for people in general is a lot. You know, I'm not a pastor, you know, I'm a minister, and don't you say anything, Pastor Natalie.
Okay, okay. Talk about that before it's over.
Okay.
I'll tease you on that before 8.
Okay, all right, amen. So just really kind of talking to people in general, you know, on a daily basis is really heavy. You know, just having conversations and praying with people, and that's a lot. So, you know, I can't imagine, you know, being in a church and being in the building, so to speak, because we are the church as a people, praying and taking on that responsibility. I would agree that, yeah, I can only imagine how heavy that mantle, that responsibility is. So let's dive back in here and talk about, was it a hard thing to accept? So you all along, you realized from a child that there was pain, and that pain, you know, brought into place fear. So when did you, like, come to, and then, you know, the illness, you talked about battling cancer, and praise God, you're an overcomer. You know, you've overcome that. You're victorious in that. When did you kind of accept that, you know, this is what I've been dealing with? You alluded to it a little earlier, the fear, and I need to release this. I need to let this go. So was it during the cancer, before the cancer, during the
I'm
call,
glad you brought that
up. But
what happened was, when I had cancer, I couldn't go inside those MRI machines, so God would just take my soul to heaven. I don't do claustrophobic nothing, and I wrote that in my book, and so that he wouldn't think that I was crazy. When he would drop my soul back on earth, he would give me the scripture on what I saw. So I told my dad, I said, you know, I think I've been called into ministry. Oh, my God. He came over with that Bible, honey. He whipped out that verse about, you know, we supposed to be quiet. The first minister was when Mary saw Jesus in the tomb, and he told her to go tell the disciples what she saw. So it started with her. And in the go a little than that, you know, in the last days, in the end days, my women and men will preach the gospel. So it's not a man or a female factor, but that hindered me, girl. That hindered me in 2001. I knew I was called. I knew what Jesus told me at my last visit, but I didn't do it because my dad said, he threw that scripture in there. See, I was still trying to get his acceptance. So what made me answer my call is that God told me, on Judgment Day, I'm letting you into heaven, not your father. And that's when I answered my call. But
wow.
I also knew I was so, see, it's more than just being a pastor. I didn't want the title. I didn't want it. I thought I was just going to run from it. But God will break you down. You can't run from your calling when you've been chosen. And I laugh when I meet people because it's, and when I say I laugh, I'm not laughing at them, but they'll be like, oh, I'm dealing with this now, and now I have this, and now I have that. And I'm like, quit running from God and just do what he tells you to do, because if you don't do what he tells you to do, you're going to get sick, premature death, or he'll allow things around you to happen until you do what you're supposed to do. So what I noticed with me is, and this is where you come in at, I took a sabbatical from the church last May, and he said, you're going to sit at my feet. Jesus was the one that was with me every day while I was sick, and he's who healed me. But God said, you need to come meet me. You need to come know who I am. There's three personalities in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God said, it's time for you to come sit and get to know me. So I sat at his feet, and he instructed, corrected, and directed me into a new direction. And then he told me what to do. Do you know I still wouldn't pick up all my projects are done. I just need to get it edited and sent out the way. Do you know I still wouldn't do it? So what happened in November was I bled for 4 weeks. We're talking hemorrhaging. And I had pneumonia and bronchitis for 6 weeks. And when I almost died, I said, I hear you, Lord. And then I just said, I can't run no more with these different things that he called me to do. Mm-hmm. Or he's going to take me. Yeah.
Wow, wow. Well, I know a lot of people, when you talk about having, you know, experiences with leaving your body, you know, there have been multiple people who have written books about this, so I know this kind of might be freaky to some people, and this is, I've never heard of this, or this doesn't happen. You know, I've read books on that happening, and I've even shared with a few people. I've never shared it on the radio where I've had that experience myself 4 times. So I know
really?
It's real. oh, absolutely. We'll talk about that off blog talk. But yeah.
Okay.
So,
can't
you
wait.
Know, so,
that's exciting.
so, you know, there are a lot of things that
I'll do that
know,
when
I
you come on my
fear.
Show.
okay, awesome, awesome. so. This is, you know, so it's real talk. And running from God, you know, I just had an experience here recently, and this is not my interview, where, you know, the Lord said to me, called me Jonah and not Ciola. So it's like, you know, I have my ticket punched to go to Tarshish. I wanted to go, you know, somewhere else. So, and again, that is that fear of feeling inadequate, fear of the responsibility. So what causes one to run from your calling? What was your experience with that?
It's the root, honey. It's the root of the problem. If you don't face your root, I had a lot of unforgiveness. I was still bitter. When I went on my consecration, God told me off. He said, you got all this hidden unforgiveness. I forgave this person. He says, you got some hidden stuff. So what really happened, Ciola, was I had to face my demons. Yes, I did. Take you all the way back to where the root started. And this is the root of it. Are you really over it? And you need to get over it so I can move you forward. So I had to deal with that. So I just started having him pluck the weeds out of my garden, and he had to turn over a new soil in my life, and he had to do a new work in me, and he had to give me a new vision. Yes, I had all these things, but I was just stagnated, and I wasn't growing, because even though you're a pastor and you know you got stuff to do, do you know that you will take care of everybody else because you're trying to avoid what God really wants you to do?
You better say it.
Do you stay busy? Oh, I got to go see Sister such and such at the hospital. I got to run and do this. Let me get back on the phone and pray for you. And then the Lord kept saying, what about them books? What about them poems? What about them songs? And he got angry about it, so he sat me down. Because he said, even though you're a pastor, you're going to go outside of these four walls. They need to see this in film. They need to see this in a poem. They need to see this in a play. I have more work for you to do than what you're attempting to do, basically. Yeah.
Oh, girl, you're speaking to a whole lot of people. I'm
sorry.
No, don't be sorry. You know,
okay.
This is good. This is good. And I'm glad you talked about all these different projects, that these assignments that you have. Let's dive into that. We have about 21 minutes. So let's dive into some of these projects that you're working on. So you talked about film. You talked about poems. You talked about books. So what is Pastor Natalie up to?
What happened with me was I was always destined for TV and film, and everyone in my family knew it, but I was in the world then. My worldly name was Versatility, short for Versi. And I was rapping about everything but God. And me and my sister likes to be like, I wonder why we're not picked up, because we had an auntie that did the Grammys and the Oscars, right? And so I was like, I wonder why we never got signed. That wasn't what God wanted it for. So I have films that are just sitting on the shelf. And then when I had cancer, he wrote the book in 3 weeks. But let me tell you why the book didn't go forth. Every time I picked the book up to edit it, I would cry. I wrote in 3 weeks, and plus I kept a journal because Jesus was in the house with me, and I was single, so I lived by myself. So I wrote the book really quickly, and when I would go to edit it, I would just cry, and it would put me in a deep depression because I didn't like that old person that I was. So that was the excuse for that. And I had thousands and thousands of poems. I've been writing the poems. And then when I went to your conference, and I know it's not about the Trinity, but I have to let you guys know what you did for me. when I went to the conference and I heard Karen's testimony, I'm like, oh, wow, she brought up the cookie person, and that was me. And then when Cena did hers, Cena reminded me of the infant, Natalie. And then when Mama Pam got up, I said, oh, my goodness, that's the poet, Natalie. And then when you got up, I said, oh, my God, she's so different. Like, and you guys activated something. And so I came home, I redid my office, and the Lord said, you're going to sit down. And I was so busy, I forgot about Natalie the author, Natalie the playwright, Natalie the poet, Natalie the actress, Natalie the singer. And he said, you are going to, now this is how me and God have it. You're going to do an audition tape, and you're going to send it to this one person, and she's going to pick it up, and she's going to do all your books, all your movies, and all your plays, and all your publishing too. And he even showed me how to do it. And so I said, okay. And he says, I'm prophesying to you. You're always prophesying to people, but that's the vision that I've given you. And it has to be done. If not, I'm trying to stay on this earth. So I'm working on that. I'm working on an audition tape that has to go out before my birthday. And then I'm also working on it's called Saving Souls Creatively, and that's going to be an internet on YouTube, and I'm going to drop it on Facebook and Instagram, and that's just going to be me being creative. Like, you guys are going to Vegas, I'm going to interview you guys if you guys would let me. But wherever I go, it'll either be in my studio or on location, and it's just literally what it says, saving souls creatively and just being different. You have to be different days and times to get people's attention. And let me just say this right quick along with the saving souls creatively. People can be stuffy where they're not trying to hear ministry. We have to get outside of that stuffiness, and you know, you have to come down to people's level. So one thing about me is I can be loving, but I like to reach the ones that people don't want to talk to. So I also have two nonprofits. One is called Gift the Child, and that's for the underprivileged children. We give them toys at the end of the year for Christmas, and then it's something called Something Warm for Christmas, where that's for the homeless, where we give them warm things for the homeless. But my whole thing for saving souls creatively is reaching those that the world doesn't want to touch. So that's going to and the way I am with my personality, it's going to be like something you haven't even seen before, but God's going to do it where souls will be saved.
Wow. Saving souls creatively. That's awesome. And I know a while ago I saw, you know, what you do on Facebook with regards to the children at Christmas time and, you know, giving out. I saw that a few years back, and it used to always just really excite my spirit to see that because, you know, sometimes you can see people doing that and it doesn't move you, but then you can see someone else doing it and it moves you because you see the spirit behind why it's being done. So that is a distinction that I'm sure a lot of people may not notice because we get caught up in the awe rather than the spirit behind the thing. So yeah, it's true. So that is just awesome. So, okay, you talked about the film, you talked about your publishing. You mentioned a book earlier on when we were talking, and I just love the title. Can you tell you were writing it when you were down with cancer? What is the title
it's
of the
called,
book again?
It's called He Carried Me Through, and what happened was this. When I got cancer, I was 33, and I told Jesus, you're going to take me out the same age you was when you was on the cross. Banker, I was in my prime, and got sick out of nowhere. Like, I looked healthy the way I do now, but I had this thing protruding out my neck. But to make a long story short, everybody that would go to the hospital with me, they had things going on at home. So Jesus literally carried me through my illness. And when I say he carried me through, I mean, it was in my thyroid. So it was like going through PMS, menopause, and postpartum all through one. And it was right when 9/11. Even though I had those two surgeries, by the time 9/11 came, I was suicidal every day. And the psychiatrist finally said, well, how are you going to do it? I said, if I wanted to do it, I would have done it. But what happened was I went to sleep, and Jesus took me to hell. And I woke up, and it was like a beach, but instead of it being the beach, it was boiling red water. And people, they would, like, be normal, then they would like melt, then they would be normal. And the devil said, this is where you come when you commit suicide. And Jesus said, you can't have her. And he pulled me out of hell. And so when I woke up, I said, well, I won't be doing that. So I just wrote the book, and it's called He Carried Me Through. And I'm also going to have a workbook to it, too. And it's for people that when they first get diagnosed with cancer, I'm just sharing all the scriptures he took me to. I'm talking about the fear. When you hear the word cancer, you just automatically think that you're going to die. But I told my doctor, it ain't coming back. And they were like, yes, it is. And I said, no, it isn't. And when I went back the year later, there was no trace of it. So the book is called He Carried Me Through.
Wow, wow, wow. And so you kind of journey. So is that the journals that you were taking, the whole experience that you had while you were battling cancer?
I had a boyfriend that was a producer in L.A. He was an ex. And what happened was I would email him every day everything I was feeling. If I went to heaven, if it was a bad doctor's appointment, I just would email him every day. And Jesus would not leave me hanging. He had me read Job, but he would take me to all the heavenly scriptures, and I fell in love with Psalms and Proverbs. And what happened was the journaling became the book. But just know this, hearing that word cancer, I don't care what stage it is, I told them I'm going to believe God's report. And they thought I was crazy. They would laugh at me in my face, the doctors. And I even got a chapter called Demons at My Hospital Bed because the nurses were off the hook too. But I just stood on the word and I said, I'm going to beat this. And Jesus said, I'm healed. And that's why the book is called He Carried Me Through.
Wow. Wow. So since having this experience with cancer, do you speak to other women that may have, or do you find that other women are attracted to you who may be battling cancer?
What happened was I became a healer after cancer. A lot of times I tell people what you're healed from is what you become. So the church is a deliverance church, and even before it became a church, if I heard that you had it, I would go sit with you and pray with you and lay hands on you. And my auntie, you know Auntie D, right? When her mom passed, we did her funeral, and this is before we became a church, and they say, well, where does she pastor at? And she says she's a pastor or a minister and doesn't even know it. You know, so I always healing people after the cancer, and I was always sharing my story at, you know, churches and visiting churches. But I just was running from my calling, honey. I just was running. I ran.
She said, I just ran.
Run no more, though. I'm scared. And that's one of
now
the seven.
You're scared to run.
it's one of the seven spirits, honey, the fear of the Lord. And that's the seventh one. And I fear him. And I'm just going to do whatever he say do from now on.
Amen to that. Amen to that. So the movie, so you're working on a couple of movies that you're working on. Can you talk to us a little bit about, we have about 12 minutes. Can you talk to us about the movies that you're working on? Because all of this, I mean, I find it so phenomenal. Excuse me. I find it so phenomenal that you've gone through everything that you've gone through, from the abuse as a child, seeing everything that you've seen in church, which could definitely turn you off and make you want to run from being in ministry, you know, and you've done that. And then going through, you know, everything that you've experienced, which we, you know, haven't even scratched the surface on yet. I scratched the surface on, but again, that's in your book. So one of your books. So having gone through all
Not
of
about
that,
30 of
I
them.
Think, well, praise God. I find it really phenomenal that you can be here with the level of passion and love and understanding and compassion that you have towards people, and that you, you know, be it fear of God, you know, our love of people, you know, to be in the ministry as a pastor and doing all of the wonderful and marvelous things that you're doing. I just want to say that I think that in itself is phenomenal. I mean, you're talking about a journey. That is one heck of a journey, you know, from where you were to where you are now and everything that you've overcome in between. So let's talk a little bit about these films that you're working on.
So what's going on with the films is, everything that I do is going to turn, like my books are going to turn into movies. So you know how own, my thing is to get my own, well, I'm going to speak it into existence, and this is the first show that's going to have it when it happens. My thing, the pastors that have our own TV station or even the commercial is saving a soul creatively.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
everything that I have, at least 50% of the books are going to turn into movies. So they're going to be
mm-hmm.
books, and then I'm going to turn into movies. And I love Lifetime.
Oh.
I'm human. I love me some Lifetime, and even though I'm going to have stuff on OWN and here and there, I still want to get these Christian films on channels that man thought that they couldn't be on. And,
mm-hmm,
you know, women
mm-hmm.
are addicted to Lifetime, so it won't just be on PureFlex, but I'm already praying for that movement, too, so that these shows
mm-hmm.
can be seen. And the way I write the way I talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I write the screenplay that way and the book that way. So God just has given me a way to reel you in. So they'll probably think it's a normal movie, not knowing that it's going to turn into a Christian flick. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm
mm-hmm.
just
mm-hmm.
almost dying. And my auntie used to say, you better do what you're supposed to do. After that, I had a real, it was scary last year. So it's like,
mm-hmm.
I'll be done with my audition tape. And, yes, I'm going to show you because I always tease you and call you my mentor. I'm just asking God because he already threw me into my future. So what I'm asking God is, you know how T.D. Jakes and Marvin Winans, how they still have churches, but they're still doing movies. And I even told the Lord, you're about to have me so busy, but I still want to do my Wednesday night Bible study. And I still want to be able to do my churches. So he threw me into my future, but this is the key to being successful. You have to consecrate. You have to separate to elevate. And I'm sure that someone is listening in. If you're hanging around somebody that's stopping you from your purpose or they don't make you feel good, they got to go in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. If you're doing something that's not of God, that has to go. So I just had to separate. I had to even separate from family. And that was hard. But that was the only way that I heard from God. And so God is the one that said, this is what you're about to do with audition tape, and this is what's about to happen. But you need to get your mind right for it because it's going to happen instantly and quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And he has my ministry in a movement of, he calls it instant miracles. So things are
mm-hmm.
happening really fast. Yeah.
Let's touch on what you just said, get your mind right. So what is it that, you know, God meant, get your mind right?
My favorite scripture is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. A lot of us are dealing with that pain. A lot of us are dealing with that fear. A lot of us are dealing with all those different spirits, rejection, neglection, that they
mm-hmm.
mind ain't right. I battle depression every day, so this is what I do. When I wake up, I grab his garment, but I tease my flock and I say, when I go to the bathroom, y'all, I'm praying, and this is my prayer. Father God, show me what to do before you sent me to my mother's womb. And you have
mm-hmm.
to get deeper in your prayer. Your prayers can get stale, y'all. They can get stale. So you got to sit with God and meditate. Russell Simmons meditates. And when I say meditate, you can go to the throne room every day. I've learned to have
mm-hmm.
church with myself every day as if I just came out of a service where I can barely walk. You got to tap
mm-hmm.
into God in the throne room, and that's called getting your mind right, renewing your mind to the mind of Christ. And he told, I'm going to drop this in your spirit. He said, I'm omnipresent. I'm everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But did you know
mm-hmm.
that we can be omnipotent and omniscience and have all that he has? Before Jesus went to heaven, he says, I'm going to leave. What I'm leaving with you is you're going to do more powerful things than me. But what I'm learning is you got that omniscience and that omnipotent, and you take those two things and ignite it, activate it. And then Jesus, whatever you need to do, I don't have to be there to lay hands on you. He's omnipresent. People forget that
is.
We can
yes, he is.
Everywhere. Just go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what
mm-hmm.
I mean by mind right. You have to consecrate to elevate. And
I like that, consecrate to elevate. That's right,
mm-hmm.
sitting with God. Wow,
yeah.
That's good. That consecrate to elevate, that's good. That's good. You have to, you definitely, I would agree with you that you definitely have to spend time with God. You definitely have to get into that place of the holy holies, you know. And that takes time. That takes spending time with God. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
so I would agree there because I'm constantly, you know, in the presence of God, spending time with God. It's necessary. It's relevant. you know, it's actually essential, imperative. It's all those things, you know, to definitely spend time with him. Wow, so there's a movie. There's multiple movies. There are multiple books. Let's talk about these poems that you wrote.
Well, every time I saw something, I would come back and write about what I saw. My heavenly poem is called Paradise Place for Two. I have what I saw in hell, and I just, maybe I have like 100 poems. And it was just things that I saw. I fell in love with Jesus. I fell so in love with him that I told my sister-in-law, am I going to get in trouble when I get to heaven because of the way I feel about him? And she used to laugh. We would listen to slow music on KBLX, and she would be like, oh, you're thinking about Jesus. You have to fall in love with Jesus. And that's what I did. And then I got to know God, too, for myself, and that's what I've done recently. And Jesus, I always tell people, that's my sugar daddy, my honey lover, my homie. He just spoils me. But you have to be obedient to get that type of spoiledness. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And then he just, he taught me how to love. He taught me how to love. And I just love, because John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know what I mean? And he just loved us so much. So that's where you see that's always loving and huggy, huggy, kissy. Because I tell people, if you're the church and Jesus is inside of you, when you go to hug someone or do something for someone, they should feel Jesus in that hug or in the love that you just gave them. There should be some type of memory of Jesus with you.
Amen. So we're down to 3 minutes, and I want to say this. A lot of people are, we've been so kind of wrapped up and bound in church from a traditional standpoint, relationship, or let me back up and not even use relationship, religion, relationship with Jesus. You come with a whole different perspective, a whole different outlook, a whole different perception, relationship. And I'm sure some people be like, that's really strange. That's crazy. I've never done that. I don't see Jesus like that. How do you handle that when people say, this is, you're different. I've never seen this. I've never experienced this, you know, because we perhaps need to break away from tradition. So how would you, have you experienced that, and how do you handle that?
I just don't have time to care anymore. If you're assigned to me, then that's what I'm going to do, because I'm sure I'm going to be ridiculed. Find out who I'm going to be signed with. Oh, my God, is this person even this now? But I know what God told me to go do. So once you know who you are in Christ, you don't really care about what the world is saying. They didn't accept Jesus in his own city. They hated to see him coming to Nazareth. But he went to do an assignment, and then he left and went and did what he needed to do. So that is his whole ministry. And I have my days about it, but he goes, get over it. You know, I was sad, but I went to the Father and got over it.
Wow. I love it. I love it. So that basically, in a nutshell, is you've got over the fear of what people think. You're on with your assignment, doing what God has called you to do, and that's it. That's all.
And I'm different, and I love being a peculiar pastor.
What a word that says, we are a peculiar people. Well, Pastor Natalie, this has been an awesome show. We're down to about 1:48. I just want to thank you for being our host, being our guest, and thank you
for
spending this hour with us. What an awesome show. What a lovely spirit and a beautiful person. Thank you for sharing so openly and so candidly with us. And we don't care what people think. You know, we're only responsible.
I just love you. Love you. Love you.
I love you too. So this is awesome. Again, I just want to thank you. We're down to about 1:17. So I'm going to take a moment here just to thank all of our listeners for tuning in tonight. We really appreciate you. I want to once again remind you that the Trinity Tour will be in Las Vegas on next Saturday, March the 11th, at the East Las Vegas Community Center. And I also want to remind you of our women's conference that's coming up on June 23rd and 24th in Sacramento, California. You can find out more information at TrinityBECTour.com, TrinityBECTour.com, and www.sceoanew.org to find out about the Women's Conference. I want to remind you that Sister Talk is here every Thursday at 7 p.m. That's every Thursday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I want to encourage you to tune in, listen to what we're saying. We're talking about some really awesome and good stuff. You're hearing some powerful and awesome testimonies and stories. You're being encouraged, inspired, and motivated. And more than that, you're being loved on. So thank you for tuning in. And please tell your friends about us. Comment. Tell us what you think about the shows. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on blogtalkradio.com/sistersradio. We love you, we thank you, and we appreciate you. Pastor Natalie, thank you again. We're signing off.
You're welcome, honey. All right.
Bye-bye.